Chapter 21. The consortium was put together by one of Dick Docker's flying buddies. It was built around two local ophthalmologists who had clinics in West Virginia. Both had just learned to fly and needed to shuttle back and forth at a faster pace. Docker's pal was a pension consultant who needed the bonanza for about 12 hours a month. A fourth partner would get the deal off the ground. Each would put up $50,000 for a quarter interest, then sign a bank loan for the balance of the purchase price, which was currently at $390,000, and not likely to move lower. The note was spread over 6 years and would cost each partner $890 per month. That was about 11 hours in a Cessna for Pilot Attlee. On the plus side, there was depreciation and potential charter business when the partners were not using the plane. On the negative, there were hangar fees, fuel, maintenance, and a list that seemed to go on too long. Unsaid by the pal of Dick Docker, and also very much on the negative side, was the possibility of getting into business with three strangers, two of whom were doctors. But Ray had $50,000, and he could swing $890 a month, and he wanted desperately to own the airplane that he secretly considered to be his. Bonanzas held their value, according to a rather persuasive report that was attached to the proposal. Demand had remained high in the used aircraft market. The Beech safety record was second only to Cessna, and practically as strong. Ray carried the consortium deal around with him for 2 days, reading it at the office, in his apartment, at the lunch counter. The other three partners were in. Just sign his name in four places, and he would own the bonanza. The day before he left for Mississippi, he studied the deal for the last time, said to hell with everything else, and signed the papers. If the bad guys were watching him, they were doing an excellent job of covering their tracks. After 6 days of trying to find the surveillance, Corey Crawford was of the opinion that there was nobody back there. Ray paid him $3,800 in cash and promised to call if he got suspicious again. Under the guise of storing more junk, he went to Cheney's self-storage every day to check on the money. He hauled in boxes filled with anything he could find around his apartment. Both 14B and 37F were slowly taking on the appearance of an old attic. The day before he left town, he went to the front office and asked Mrs. Cheney if someone had vacated 18R. Yes, 2 days ago. "I'd like to rent it," he said.
"That makes three," she said.
"I'm going to need the space."
"Why don't you just rent one of our larger units?"
"Maybe later. For now, I'll use the three small ones." It really didn't matter to her. He rented 18R in the name of Newton Aviation and paid cash for a 6-month lease. When he was certain no one was watching, he moved the money out of 37F and into 18R, where new boxes were waiting. They were made of aluminum-coated vinyl and guaranteed to resist fire up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit. They were also waterproof, and they locked. The money fit into five of them. For good measure, Ray threw some old quilts and blankets and clothes over the boxes so things would look a little more normal. He wasn't sure whom he was trying to impress with the randomness of his little room, but he felt better when it looked disheveled. A lot of what he was doing these days was for the benefit of someone else. A different route from his apartment to the law school, a new jogging trail, a different coffee bar, a new downtown bookstore to browse through, and always with an eye for the unusual, an eye in the rearview mirror, a quick turnaround when he walked or jogged, a peek through shelves after he entered a shop. Someone was back there. He could feel it. He had decided to have dinner with Kaylee before he went south for a while, and before she technically became a former student. Exams were over. What was the harm? She would be around for the summer, and he was determined to pursue her with great caution. Caution because that's what every female got from him. Caution because he thought he saw potential in this one. But the first phone call to her number was a disaster. A male voice answered. A younger voice, Ray thought. And whoever he wasn't too pleased that Ray had called. When Kaylee got on the phone, she was abrupt. Ray asked if he could call at a better time. She said no, she'd ring him back. He waited 3 days, then wrote her off, something he could do as easily as flipping the calendar to the next month. So he departed Charlottesville with nothing left undone. With fog in the bonanza, he flew 4 hours to Memphis, where he rented a car and went to look for Forrest.